Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your breath, and you shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Ascension may be one of the most under-celebrated events in the life of the church. And part of this reason is that Ascension Day is always falling on a Thursday and not on a Sunday. So to keep Ascension in a sharp focus, to keep the Ascension of Jesus sharp, the church has commonly used Psalm 47 to shape our response to all that is involved. The psalm sets the scene of a joyful triumph. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to our God, sing praises. God is king over all the earth. God sits on his holy throne. The same Jesus who just over 40 days earlier had been crowned king of the Jews on his Golgotha throne is now ruling from heaven. Everything that he said and everything that he did in Roman-occupied Palestine is now being spoken of and acted on from on high. Often, I have been told, and I now realize, that when a preacher is crafting a sermon, they are preaching to themselves in need as well as the community. This week, as we celebrate Ascension, was particularly true for me. It was not my specific intention, but I was driven by my own grief and my trust in the Holy Spirit to comfort me in my own weakness. The gospel this week swept into the last conversation that I had with one of my dearest friends just a few hours before she met an unexpected death. My friend had a case of overwhelming sepsis, also called necrotizing fasciitis, that took her life this week. I knew she was challenged going into surgery. I was called in to anoint her and give her last rites and prayers, and perhaps she would not make it out. She had scheduled breakfast with me that very morning on last Wednesday to give me a prayer shawl that she had knit for me over her excitement to the ordained priesthood that I had finally landed. She was to give me this prayer shawl on the morning that she took a critical turn. She did, in fact, survive her surgery, the procedure, and just lived a few hours past that when her body started to shut down. And during this interim time, I thanked her for her witness of faith. I assured her, as she was going into surgery, and had her envision him in bed with her, holding on to her, being her companion during this time. And our last communication was just unbelievable. She crossed herself like this, the big white cross over her shoulders, and gave two thumbs up. It was amazing. She was always positive and always very resilient. That was our girl, BJ. I was thinking about Ascension during this very time, too. Now, as Jesus was leaving his friends and being taken up into heaven, was my friend BJ, Roberta, too, going to make her way? We were not ready. We rarely are ready. We're never ready. The risen and ascended Lord entered into her time of need with a calming presence through her plea. And that is how a relationship with Jesus is supposed to work, immediately accessible, even when we cannot say the words because of our grief or distress or a feeding tube or lines or anesthesia. In effect, her prayer was ministry to me, to others around her at this time where she could not speak. And I often find this on pastoral visits with the dying. Wordlessly, their faith becomes a model of offering to others, and there are absolutely no words to describe the very power that comes in this time, this deep and knowing confidence in Christ. It is deep intimacy. It is deep union. It is deep knowledge that their lives are soon to be transformed and changed. And it is this confidence of calm knowing that transmits in their light to others. Jesus, in our Gospel of John today, was asking God to give him glory in order that he might also give eternal life to everyone that was given to him. This eternal life that Jesus is declaring before God is life in God. Jesus' deepest desire was that people could be brought to God through him, but not just at the end of life, throughout all of life, in the here and the now. And we know that Jesus is always pointing not to himself, but to God. And I was very conscious of this as my friend was making her transition. And I'm sure it was because of these passages that we're having this week. The Ascension celebrates Jesus being taken up to heaven after his earthly ministry. As theologian Van Helmer describes, the ascension of Jesus is not a device to get him back to heaven from whence he came. The ascension is an account of how Jesus, having finished his work on earth, blazes over a trail which we too shall one day travel, a trail to eternal life that continues in our relationship with the risen Jesus Christ and with God, our Creator and Redeemer. What is eternal life then? Is it just an extension of life? No. As John 17:3 says, it is that we, like the disciples, may know God and Jesus, the one he sent. The ascension is the promise here and now that we know him deeply and intimately. Jesus and Jesus in God. Eternal life is not entered into at the end of life, as we often think, but throughout life. And this knowledge is the knowledge that we confess, actually, if you think about it, in our creed. There's a little bit more catechism this week. In the resurrection appearances, Jesus has prepared his disciples to carry on in the faith after he ascends. And by sending his Holy Spirit, they will continue that work in the world. After the Last Supper, the disciples will continue to see the risen Christ. This will be in the context of a meal, the Eucharist. We, like them, recognize him in the breaking of the bread. We are sustained in our sacramental meal. And this outward and visible sign of the Eucharist are carried in the bread and in the wine. We are united in this sacrificial offering by the way Christ is being made present to us, week after week, moment after moment. Christ commands us. He commands us to participate in this sacrament and to always, always remember his life, remember his death, remember his resurrection, and remember his ascension. This nourishment is the sustenance, the sustaining power in the unity with Christ and also with one another. Many of us have a favorite person whom we admire for their ability to go through a crisis or to meet difficult challenges head on. One young man works for the Veterans Administration and sees vets from many different wars. He says that the ones who teach him the most are the ones who can articulate their faith, the conviction that they have, the knowledge that they have, that God loves them and cares for them, even with lost limbs, with post-traumatic stress disorder, with addiction illnesses, and other problems. He says they are the people who have found peace in the middle of amazing strife, unsurpassing strife. They know Jesus as their friend. Jesus doesn't come and go on a transporter beam. His presence abides in the church and in a personal and unique relationship with each and every one of us. That is what we celebrated during the great 50 days of Easter. So today, whether you are joyful about something, or sad or grieving over something that might have been, remember that you are connected to the risen Christ through the community of faith that we have here, and you are directly in communication and relation with Him. Pray for the specific things that you need. Ask for the things that He wants to give you, even if you don't know what they are. And always, always remember that it is His risen and ascended life that makes Him accessible. He wants to walk with you. Will you take His hand? And now, let us pray. And may we do so prudently and joyfully with your help, with your guidance, and with your grace. And remembering this glorious event, help us to seek what is above, heaven, where you are seated at the right hand of God the Father.